Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide.
Mission. Today, our scripture passage is taken from the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, which are really talking about the future ministry of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, but they look forward to a time when we'll be in the tribulation and in the millennial kingdom. Verse 3 says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." There's a great prophecy of the coming of John the Baptist, but it's also talking about how in the future the earth will be leveled out. The valleys will be brought up and the mountains will be laid low, and it'll be level like it was at the very beginning before the flood. And life on earth will be a place of great productivity as the land produces the way it was intended to back in the Garden of Eden. And so all things will be made new. And the last verse tells us that all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. These things are sure to come. All believers in their resurrection body will see these things during the millennial kingdom. What a great blessing we have ahead of us, and what great things the Lord has promised and will also produce for us. What a great God and what a great Savior we serve today.
Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way?
Speak, my Lord.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak to me. Speak, and I'll be quick to answer thee.
To answer thee.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak,
my Lord. Speak, oh, speak to me. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me. Now in sin and shame are dying. Listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to the rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I.
Speak, my Lord.
Speak, my Lord. And I'll be quick to answer thee.
To answer thee. Speak, my Lord.
Speak, my Lord. Speak, oh, speak to me. Speak, and I will answer. Lord, send me.
Hello, and welcome to another inspiring episode of Mission Moments. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, bringing you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we are excited to spotlight Mission Go's unwavering commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities worldwide. Join us as we delve into the incredible stories of missionaries making a tangible difference in unique language groups worldwide. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, we celebrate the dedicated individuals who embark on this journey to preach, build genuine relationships, and address the needs of those they serve. Their heartfelt outreach aims to share the gospel's transformative power, and we can't wait for you to hear these uplifting stories. Stay tuned as we explore the meaningful connections being forged and the lives being changed, all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to share about the Hernandez Children's School Ministry this week. We often never know what impact we have on someone's life. On the last day of school at a Christian high school where one of our missionaries works, in addition to running a Christian school in the Dominican Republic, she received the following message. Dear Mrs. Hernandez, thank you for everything this year. You are such an inspiration in my life. You have taught me way more than just Spanish. You have taught me what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You have opened my eyes to many things and ways God works. Coming into school as a transfer student this year, I wanted to grow stronger in my faith, and seeing how you care and pray for every one of us is a true blessing. Thank you for helping me with my faith journey. Even though you may not have noticed it, you did so much for me. Our missionary writes, as I read these words, they brought tears to our missionary's eyes and confirmed the need for caring, strong Christian role models in the lives of these high school students. She wasn't sure how God would use her when he opened this door a few years ago, but she is starting to understand it more and more each day. She is grateful for the opportunities she has been given to impact the lives of these students while also connecting them with the school in the Dominican Republic. This is just one of the special messages we received from the mission field. As we draw this inspiring episode of Mission Moments to a close, I want to take a moment to reflect on the powerful work being done around the globe. I'm Reverend Dennis Campbell, President of Mission Go, and it has been a joy to share with you the latest updates from the vibrant mission field. This week, we've been privileged to spotlight Mission Go's steadfast commitment to spreading the gospel and nurturing local Christian communities in every corner of the world. The incredible stories of our missionaries remind us of the profound impact one can have. These devoted individuals are not just sharing messages, they are building genuine relationships and meeting heartfelt needs, all driven by their desire to share the transformative love of Jesus Christ. As part of Canada's National Bible Hour and Mission Go Ministry, I encourage you to share these stories. They are testaments to faith in action and the beauty of community. Together, we are witnessing lives being transformed by the grace of God, and it's an honor to be part of this journey with you. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you will continue to pray for our missionaries and support their efforts to ignite hope and love in every community they touch. Until next time, may the grace and peace of our Lord bless you abundantly. This March, here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we would like to make available another booklet about patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. As we continue the offering, the devotional series by Robert Strand, The Nine Fruits of the Spirit, the Greek word makrothumia, pronounced makroth, umei, ah, means forbearance, long-enduring, fortitude, long-suffering, and patience. When does a person develop patience? At the point of the new birth? How long does it take to cultivate this fruit to maturity? What does it take to make the process happen? The special application of this quality of character is most often exhibited in our dealing with other people relationships. Perhaps it's easier to approach this from the negative side. Lack of patience can poison relationships and too often ruins what would otherwise be wonderful and maybe even brilliant personalities. But this fruit takes time to mature. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. In these Bible studies, Fruits of the Spirit, by the bestseller author Robert Strand, you will learn about yourself and how to relate to others as you gain a deeper understanding of what it means to be in Christ. To order your copy of the booklet Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario Postal Code L2R707, or in the United States Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231.
Immortal, invisible God, only wise, in light he
blossom and flourish as leaves on a tree, and wither and perish, but not change as thee. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains lie soaring above, thy clouds which are mountains of goodness and love. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all hailing the sight. All praise we would render, oh help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light guided thee.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning and is entitled Faith Once Delivered. Printed copies are available upon request.
May I introduce the subject of this talk today by directing your attention to three passages of Scripture. As I read them, please note their common theme. Leviticus 17:11. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Hebrews 9:22. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see at once that the common theme of these passages is the role of shed blood in resolving the problem of sin. The doctrine of blood atonement is the cardinal truth I want to examine with you today, as we continue our review of the highlights of the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Thus far, we've dealt with two key doctrines of that faith once delivered. The first was the verbal inspiration and divine preservation of the Scriptures, and the second was the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope there remains no doubt in your mind concerning either of these fundamental truths. Despite the many years since the original word, perfect written word of God was given to mankind through holy men of God who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, despite the efforts of ungodly men to discredit and destroy it, despite its professed friends who want to revise and rewrite it, we still have in our possession a word perfect Bible that is in very truth the verbally inspired, divinely preserved, infallible and inerrant word of God. The doctrine of the deity and sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ likewise is an established and irrefutable fact. Christ was not merely a unique man, a great religious teacher, whose life and teachings changed the course of history. Christ was God incarnate in human flesh. He took on the form of a man to become our substitute sin-bearer and pay the penalty for our sins in our place, that we might receive God's forgiveness and receive from him the priceless gift of eternal life. Since there is for us no hope of salvation except through him, our individual relationship with him is the most important matter in life for each of us. That's why we're so anxious to help you realize what this means to you personally, and to urge you to receive Christ into your life as your personal Savior and sovereign Lord. May I now ask you to consider the significance of the manner of Christ's death for your sins? and why that manner of death was necessary to afford you an opportunity to obtain forgiveness and eternal life by receiving him as your Savior. First, the significance of him being put to death on a cross, or as it was sometimes called, a tree. Remember, we were all under the curse which sin brought on the entire human race. When Christ was lifted up on the cross, that curse was transferred from us to him. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ's acceptance of that transferred curse was symbolized by his voluntary submission to execution on a cross or tree. But of even greater significance was something that happened at the time of his death. Jewish law prohibited a dead body being left in view on the Sabbath day, which began at sundown. As the fateful day of execution wore on for Christ and the two thieves crucified with him, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, beginning at verse 31, says, The Jews, therefore, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. There came out blood. In the passages of Scripture I read earlier, God makes it clear that sins can be atoned for only by the shedding of blood, and that without shedding of blood is no remission. God made this fact clear to his people Israel by including in his law given to Moses on Mount Sinai detailed instructions concerning the role of shed blood in seeking remission of and cleansing from sin. Let me read again Leviticus 17:11, where God said to Israel, The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. When God gave Moses instructions regarding the tabernacle, which would be God's abode in the midst of his people during their wilderness journey, he directed him to divide it into two parts. The one part was to be the sanctuary, wherein was placed the golden candlestick and the table overlaid with gold on which the showbread was placed. Then, separated from the sanctuary by a blue and purple and scarlet veil of fine twined linen, was the second area known as the Holy of Holies. In it was the golden censer, the Ark of the Covenant, and the cherubims with their outstretched wings overshadowing the mercy seat. It was into this Holy of Holies that the high priest of Israel went once each year, bearing the blood of atonement, to make atonement for the sins of the people. It was not that the shed blood of animals of sacrifice had any atoning efficacy in itself. It was accepted by God in anticipation of the day when Jesus Christ, the divine Lamb of God, would offer his blood in atonement for the sins of all mankind on the cross. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, speaks of Christ as our great high priest of good things to come, and says in verse 12 that not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He goes on to say in verses 13 and 14, if the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It is significant that the first blood ever shed on this earth was shed for the remission of sin. when God slew the animals to make coats of skins to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve after their fall. That scarlet thread of blood shed for the remission of sins runs throughout the entire Bible, reaching its apex when Christ's blood was shed on the cross for the sins of the world, and culminating in the great redemption song that will be sung by the redeemed saints in glory as foretold in Revelation 5:9, which reads, "They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." The passage I read from Leviticus 17:11 gives a further insight into why the shedding of Christ's blood was necessary for the remission of our sins. It says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." The shedding of Christ's blood of atonement was therefore the literal pouring out of his divine life for the redemption of mankind. Surely this gives us a deeper understanding of the reality and the seriousness of the problem of sin. Sin, which we today are prone to treat so lightly, is not only the root cause of all our human problems, but is so serious in itself that nothing less than the pouring out of Christ's divine life in the blood of his cross could save us from its eternal consequences and free us from its deadly power. In the light of this solemn truth, how terribly misguided are those who regard sin merely as human error, not really of any serious consequence. Such misconception is reflected in their perception of Jesus Christ and the significance of his life and crucifixion. They regard him merely as a great religious teacher whose precepts still have value in our 20th century search for solutions to our individual and collective problems. They regard his death as the martyrdom of a good man whose teachings offended the religious and political leaders of his day. How terribly far short of the truth such perceptions are. The facts are that sin, which is any violation of the perfect will of God, has alienated all mankind from him. Under the eternal laws of absolute and divine justice, every sin carries an inevitable penalty. For that reason, all from the least to the greatest are guilty and under condemnation. What is more, we are helpless to recover ourselves from our seemingly hopeless state. I say seemingly, because while humanly speaking our recovery is impossible, a door of opportunity is opened before us through the love and mercy of God. Nearly 2,000 years ago, God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ to purchase our redemption. To that end, he not only took our sins into his own sinless body and died as a substitute sin-bearer in our stead, but he met the eternal requirement of divine justice that without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. On the cross, when the Roman soldier's spear pierced his side, Christ's divine blood of atonement flowed out, and the atoning efficacy of that shed blood is what makes possible the remission of our sins. The old hymn expresses it so well. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. That same blood of atonement provides daily cleansing from sin's defilement for those who put their trust in Christ and experience the realism of being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Speaking to those who have been so redeemed, the Apostle John says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Prior to the night that ended ancient Israel's bondage in Egypt, the angel of death passed through the land. God told the Israelites to sprinkle blood on the doorposts and lintels of their homes and said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." In the homes where blood was not sprinkled, the angel of death took the life of the firstborn of each family. No matter how sinful and deserving of sin-certain judgment we may be, we need fear no concern once we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Redeemer and put ourselves under the shelter of His blood shed for the remission of our sins. For God says to you in His Word, as He said to the Israelites of old, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Have you availed yourself of that shelter made available to you at the cost of Christ's shed blood? Let me close with those familiar words from Romans 5, 6 to 9. "When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." If you've never done so before, will you today open your heart and life to Jesus Christ and ask Him to be your personal Savior and find your shelter under His atoning blood shed for you on Calvary's cross?
As we draw this broadcast to a close, we at Mission Go and Canada's National Bible Hour want to express our heartfelt prayers for you. We hope the messages you've heard today and the inspiring stories from the mission field resonate deeply within you and ignite a passionate desire for a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you to take a moment to immerse yourself in the wisdom of Scripture, reflecting on the beautiful invitation found in Matthew 11, 28 to 29, where Jesus calls us to find rest in Him. May these words lift your spirit and guide you towards a more profound understanding of His love and purpose for your life. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, may God's grace and peace be with you all. Also, remember to order your copy of the booklet, Patience, a devotion series, Nine Fruits of the Spirit by Robert Strand. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, 22-23, to order your copy of the booklet, Patience, a devotion series by Robert Strand. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Mission Go, St. Catharines, Ontario, postal code L2R787, or in the United States, box 2010, Buffalo, New York, zip code 14231. Thank you for tuning in to Canada's National Bible Hour. We truly appreciate you being a part of our listening family. Remember, this program is made possible by your generous support, and we couldn't continue sharing these uplifting messages without you. If you have any questions or want to discuss our broadcast further, feel free to contact Tammy Campbell, our dedicated producer, at tjcampbell@missiongo.org. We love hearing from you. Until next time, take care and may God bless you richly. We look forward to having you with us again soon.